Keyboard Steven, and thank you, Speed Gear. There you have it. There you go. Let's go.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 329, February 19th, 2009. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Marin Karting and the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge. Check them out. You know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Steven. And, of course, we always thank the Northern California Rotax Challenge. That's going to be an exciting season. Look forward to that. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Great. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
I'm absolutely wonderful and excited, of course. Let's just bring it right out. But on today's program, is the Virgin Group perfect for Formula One? Petrobras says no to Senna and Honda. Flavio confident in Renault and F1's future. FOTA to unveil Formula One vision. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with the man himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid. Steve, what's really going on? Did you see those Danica pictures?
I saw a couple of them.
A couple? I went through the whole booklet.
Yeah, I looked at three of hers, and then I saw a couple of the other names and jumped to the tennis players.
That's very nice, but I thought they were very nice pictures. I thought Danica looked outstanding, but the big hoopla was they airbrushed her tattoo out. She was tattoo-less.
Well, I don't really understand why you do that unless you're just trying to keep the clean body image. But I guess most of the supermodels don't have body markings. So.
Well, she's not a supermodel. She's a race driver. And really, tattoos, everybody has tattoos. I have tattoos. Believe it or not. So pretty stunning there, but I have to admit, it was very impressive. She looked a lot better than I expected, because when she's wearing that race suit, I always thought that she had somewhat of a boyish figure. That was just me.
Well, the race suit kind of does that to a woman's figure, unless, of course, you're someone like Milka, who has a lot upstairs to kind of fill out that old race
exactly.
suit.
Exactly. Milka definitely looks terrific in her race suit, but there you have it. I think Milka's probably jealous and hitting the gym right now.
Could be.
I'm sure of it. But anyway, there, the big news this morning, confirmed, not confirmed. You know, Nasser always says that you never know what's going on in the press, but it seems to be confirmed that the Virgin Group, of course, we're talking Richard Branson, the man who's got probably 360 companies, $4.4 billion net worth, perfect. I call him Hesketh. Ish. And I think he would be perfect for Honda as a new team owner. He's got the funds. He's got the fun, not just the funds, to bring a Formula One team back to life.
Exactly. And he needs to catch up with his buddy Dietrich.
Absolutely. I mean, those guys could chit-chat. They probably could own a couple of teams.
They could probably own the entire sport if they wanted to.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about this. I like Richard Branson. Everything he's touched has sort of worked. I don't know too many of his failures, but even here, Virgin America is big. Their record stores are big, and I'm excited about this. I really hope it does happen.
Yeah, he certainly is the guy to do it. If anybody's got the extra cash to put it together, and also the know-how to put together a business that's going to turn a profit, and you know, he tends to look a little bit more long-term than a lot of guys that we see coming in and looking at Formula One teams where they're like hoping to make a profit at the end of the year. Branson, I think, is the kind of guy who can go put together a 3 or 4 year plan to bring the team to profitability and stability, and would be good for the sport.
I agree. And, let's not forget, Honda does have a great infrastructure in Brackley. I mean, it's all there. There isn't that much you have to do. The only thing to do is engine supplier and getting the 2009 car ready for the grid in Melbourne in, I would say, I think it's 39, 38 days.
Yeah, bit of a challenge. I don't know how far Honda was on this year's design before they kind of shut the, you know, turned out the lights. Hopefully they've got enough of a car that they can get to track in 40 days.
Exactly, and they've spoken with Mercedes, and Mercedes, you know, Norbert Hodge said that he'd be willing, but they would have to see hardcore evidence of financial liability and basically sign a contract that you're going to be able to pay for these motors. And bringing in somebody like Richard Branson, really,
pocket change.
Exactly. I mean, it's no problemo. So I'm pretty pumped up about it, and I really hope Honda survives because this will bring, you know, hopefully Honda will be able to keep Jenson Button and bring in Bruno Senna.
Yeah, that'd be really nice to have the drivers. Not only that, but we really don't want to see a short grid when we get to Melbourne. You know, losing those two more cars, dropping us down to 18 would just be really rough.
I agree, and the sad part about all this is Rubens Barrichello still hoping that Honda's going to survive, thinking that he'll be on the grid in Melbourne, and I hate to burst that bubble.
Yeah, Rubinho, kind of, you know, look at your old buddy Sato, what he's having to take to just be around the paddock.
Exactly. So Nasser has just walked into the studio. He's got his full supply of tea today. I noticed he brought right to the cafeteria because he wasn't really happy with what F1 Weekly was supplying him. So he brought his own tea in large quantities. Nass, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Thank you, sir. I am mentally delighted.
Exactly. So I assume your tea is better than F1 Weekly's tea.
No, it's just a change of taste, and I never complain about F1 Weekly cafeteria tea, and especially the service. And I hope hello to everybody also, by the way.
Exactly. And he hasn't noticed that his tea's not in his cup yet.
Exactly. But this is all, you know, we are close to Hollywood. But anyway, so your thoughts, first of all, on how Danica looked in the Sports Illustrated layout?
Lovely.
So lovely. Yeah, pretty good, huh? Okay, let's move on.
What was the deal about tattoos?
Yeah, they airbrushed her tattoo. I guess they didn't want to promote tattooism. Maybe she never told her dad. I have no clue. It's sort of bizarre. Most people show off their tattoos.
Yeah, maybe it was a Motorola logo, you know, and they weren't getting any money.
I have no idea, but I don't know. Maybe, but she still looked great. I don't think the tattoo would have hindered the good looks.
Maybe the tattoo said, "I love Nathan Hot Dogs."
That's what it... Nass is always on top of it. Keep up the good work. Okay, what do you think about Team Virgin? Or Virgin Team?
Well, you know, we have a little bit of info in the Motorsports Mondial,
I know,
mantra.
But we could talk about it a little bit at the top of the hour.
We can talk about anything.
Big news.
It is big news, and it's as big as the jumbo jet, I guess. Well, you know, it's we have all sorts of people jumping in. First, it looked like, I mean, lately that Ross Brawn and Nick Frye would take the deal. Now they're saying not only Virgin, but some other party is also interested in. It's looking like a political showdown, you know, some third party, unnamed third party, wants to take over, but they don't want Nick Frye, which made me think, could that be David Richards?
And Nick Frye definitely doesn't win the popularity contests in a lot of places.
That is very true. And actually, you know, this website, Pit Pass, they have no soft corner for him.
Exactly. And some of our listeners aren't too hip.
Yeah, but some of them do support him, and I don't know much about him or his background. I do know he's not a Ross Brawn or a Colin Chapman.
I agree.
I think he's more like the John Howard of Toyota. I mean, he's a corporate man, not a, you know, pure 100% racing person like a Ron Dennis or a Gerhard Berger. You know what I'm saying?
Correct. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But the clock is ticking, and to 38 days till Melbourne. I mean, it's almost impossible, but not. Do you really think they're going to make it?
I think so. I've always believed that it's too big of an operation
to just shut down.
Yeah, and you know, as it turns out, Honda will be paying more to shut it down than to help it keep going.
That's true.
And I don't know. Maybe they'll become the super guri of. Maybe they will be. Super Aguri was also there. I mean, this could become the second Super Aguri, you know, which would be very sad. I definitely want to. We want more teams, not less teams, you know.
Absolutely.
And talking of Melbourne, you know, their slogan for Melbourne race was, or at least the promotional thing was, Melbourne fires up. And they have changed that because of all the fires and fatalities they had, so which is a good
idea.
Let's
keep it all in good taste.
Exactly.
No, there you go. Before I got into the limo and headed toward the studios, I saw the big announcement, Formula One Teams Association ready to unveil a Formula One vision. Now, is this counter to what the FIA are doing? They're talking about some. I like Ron Dennis's thoughts. This is going to be thought out by people that are in Formula One, not just gut feelings, but precise thinking and vision about what's ahead in the future.
This is pretty much like the second coming of that, what was it called, GPMA, Grand Prix.
I remember that, yes, where there was a lot of threat. But then, in those days, it was more threatening. We didn't have the climate that we have economically. So it was a bit different, but still tough, always fighting the FIA. Well, I say...
Well, they weren't... The GPMA was both fighting both Bernie and the FIA in that, one, Bernie wasn't giving them enough money... And the FIA kept doing things to make it more difficult for them to put cars on the track. So they were trying to, using the threat of pulling out to kind of get a say in what was happening. And they've gotten that with the general counsel and all that stuff that happened a year and a half, 2 years ago, when they kind of restructured the way rules were written.
Yeah, and well, apparently they're going to have a big press conference in Switzerland, and it's going to be a big wing-ding, and they're going to make some announcements about more changes. So see what happens there, but...
Well, this really all boils down to, you know, when FIA sold commercial rights to Bernie Ecclestone's company, it was like a 100-year deal. Okay, and now obviously there's so much money involved, so sport is becoming a victim of itself, that these teams want more, you know, control. Bigger slice of the pie. Well, control is give them more money and that's, you know, that'll control your mind.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem is.
Well, the owner of Red Bull came out today saying he thinks the F1 teams should own Formula One.
Yeah, but you know, whatever these people do, these are very successful, smart people. I would say, you know, please keep in mind what happened to open wheel racing in this country when they went two separate ways, you know.
Yeah, I think the teams owning the series is not necessarily the best idea. The teams having a share of ownership makes sense. But you kind of need the disinterested third party like FOM who goes out and gets sponsorship, who, you know, basically sets up the deals with the tracks and give them a share. And that way you kind of have the two to play off each other, and then you basically end up with the teams with a voting interest via the shares that they own in the sport.
Right. Well, that's what they were supposed to do, but, you know, it's become a very self-serving cow, you know. I mean, they are driving traditional tracks out and going to... Well, I mean, I don't want to take
he
names.
Who, he who pays the most is...
That's not what this business... You know, I mean, I understand, you know, greed is good, but there has to be a limit, you know. I mean, just see what's going on all around these days.
I agree. A limit, I mean, good taste, and everything else.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
Well, ultimately, you kill the sport. If you don't have individuals going to races in Europe, individuals stop watching races on television, and therefore your television revenues will start to drop. It's kind of a vicious cycle. You've got to keep races on the traditional tracks to keep traditional fans from going, you know, I really don't want to see a night race in Singapore. I want to see them race at Spa.
I'll give you an example. You know, for my calendar, for Motorsports Mondial, for just general interest, I do a lot Yahoo search and Google search. If you search anything about motor racing or motor racing history, Grand Prix racing, you'll be surprised how many websites are there in Eastern Europe. There is a one website from Romania which has a lot of good stats, and it's in English also. There are a lot of websites in Ukraine, Russia, with a lot of videos, this and that. And the point is, there is a lot of interest in those places. But as a racing fan, not to have a race in the land of Fangio and have a race in Korea, I have a problem with that. I have nothing against Korea or, you know, anything like that. But not to have a race in the United States and have a race in Abu Dhabi, please. You know, I was talking to Johnny Herbert. Ran into him at the Monterey Historics. And I asked him, what are you doing these days? He said, oh, you know, I won the Speed Car Series last year. And without me even asking any system, you know, motorsport is not really a sport that's followed by a lot of people in that part of the world. And I should know, I'm from that part of the world. So the point is, you know, you take the sport, whether it's a passion, whether it's an interest, and you explore new markets also, but not at the expense of Silverstone or Monza. And now there is this report coming out that this Rome Grand Prix idea, maybe they have found some, you know, oil well in money pit in Rome. I would hate to see the Monza Grand Prix finish off.
That would be sacrilege.
Yeah, that'll piss me off, but I'll still follow Formula One.
Well, I can't see Ferrari you know, with all the pull, they have agreeing to let the Italian Grand Prix be moved to Rome. I don't think it serves their interest.
Yeah, right now they have like four or five German drivers. There is Mercedes, BMW, and Vauxhall. And we may not have a German Grand Prix. I mean, geez, this is the land of Nürburgring and Stuttgart and Hockenheim. And, you know, Michael Schumacher. You've heard of that guy, right?
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, tough guy.
Yeah. You really liked him at the 2006 Japanese
that
Grand Prix.
That was the best.
Of course it was.
Oh, the memories. No, but it's true. I mean, now there's rumors that the Grand Prix, the British Grand Prix, it may not happen because of the Donington problems, Silverstone problems.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
The whole thing is ridiculous. I agree. Let's move on. Let's talk about Flavio. Bravo, 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 bravo. Stephen, manufacturers are suffering. Renault got some cash, as many companies are, from the government. A couple of billion. I don't think it was ridiculous like a General Motors bailout.
A couple of billion was not ridiculous. Thank you. Well, merci, muchachos.
It's a couple versus 40, you know.
Exactly. Anyway, BMW announced a couple of days ago that the sales of the Mini Cooper have dropped substantially, and the manufacturing plant in England will be laying off a few thousand people. How do these teams justify staying in Formula One?
It's marketing. It's always been, number one, it's a marketing expense for all of these teams. It's a way to get the name on the television to the biggest market, the biggest sports market in the world. I think USF1 mentions the fact that there are 6 million viewers annually. That's 6 million pairs of eyes to put your logo in front of, you know, repeatedly during, you know, spaced repetition is supposed to be really good for imprinting things on people's memory. What better than a car going by to imprint somebody's logo on your memory?
I agree, but don't forget the French government in the end knocked down the chance of building a circuit for the French Grand Prix in Flins. Then they loaned money to Renault.
But the loaning money to the corporation is a completely different animal, because they're attempting to keep and create jobs within their country, with a corporation that is part of their, literally the fabric of France. And you need to be able to put that money, you put that money into there to help them offset some of the loans, some of the fact that their car sales are down. Having them hack up, you know, basically walk away from F1, like Nasser mentions, it's going to cost Honda more to shut down their F1 operation than it probably would have to just kind of underfund it and kind of maybe get someone to put their face out there and just let them run the program. It's an advertising expense, so you run fewer commercials and put that money in your F1 team.
I'm with you. I want to see the French Grand Prix back, and I think Renault should be lobbying the French government.
But not only that, but you also need to look at the fact too that Renault Racing may actually be a profitable division of Renault. Because if they're supplying all the engines to GP2, you know, they're not giving those away. They're at least getting cost back, I'm sure, on those engines. So that's kind of a wash. You're paying all those people, and then whatever profits coming from that can be funneled into the F1 team.
Yeah, we'll see how quickly this economic fiasco turns around. I hope it happens soon, but a lot of people in government are saying it's not going to happen until another year or so. But we shall see. Quickly, before we go to break, Petrobras saying, no, we do not fund drivers, and we're not interested in funding Honda. I'm sure that was a letdown to Senna, and they made a special press release for Brazil, because, you know, Senna and Brazil are very sensitive, saying that, you know, we have never promoted drivers financially, and right now we're going to be getting out of F1.
Yeah, again, that's one of those kind of situations. Petrobras is really deep in the government in Brazil, and it's a lot harder for them to justify staying in. You know, they get one race a year. You know, F1's huge in Brazil, but
Nass, your little comment?
Well, Petrobras pulling out, that's ING's gone at the end of the year. They were going to wait till the middle of the season to announce that, but they announced that this week too. That, you know, after this year, we're done.
Yeah, corporations, just like Jackie Stewart being pushed out of his.
And I know Clark Rogers is happy to hear that because he knows the colors will change.
Well, I am. But still, I like. Well, IMG not only sponsors Renault, but they also sponsor a number of races.
Yeah, they were picking up two or three races. So.
Exactly. Nas, your thoughts on Brazil and Petrobras and Senna and Honda?
Well, I know it's a slogan, a new advertising team from one of the competitors, but I think Petrobras is now thinking with their dipstick. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, very good.
Obrigado.
Yeah, keep up the good work. Real quick surprise.
I was kind of surprised when I read that, and I knew that myself, but I was still at home when they said that we don't sponsor. I mean, with the long list of great Brazilian drivers, I'm surprised they've never.
Especially when you have a name like Senna, I think in Brazil, obviously that's going to carry a lot of marketing weight.
Everywhere.
Exactly. So a little bit surprised there, but obviously even oil companies aren't doing as well as they used to. Quickly, I was surprised to see ING will sponsor the race in Istanbul, Turkey for 2009. What's up with that, Stephen?
I think they may have already been under contract.
You believe that?
Yeah, I would believe that.
Yeah, yeah. These things
it's the same situation with Renault. They're basically, their contract runs out at the end of this year, so they couldn't walk away because I'm sure that the buyout clause is nearly as much as what they're going to pay anyway.
Yeah.
And so, and one of the other interesting things is that it's been a wholesale success for ING in Formula One. They were saying that their name recognition worldwide has gone up by like 16%. Basically during the period that they've been in F1.
Yeah. My thoughts, Ness?
Well, I must say, unlike most companies, ING did a very good job of promoting their brand. A lot of companies, you know, I don't know if you remember this, you don't follow HM cars, but when FedEx was the series sponsor, they got a lot of flack from the motorsports media. They hardly did anything to promote the series. So ING was very proactive.
Yeah, they were, and they are everywhere with advertising, including with Fernando Alonso and Renault. And I think they've done an outstanding job. And they're a good company. But my thoughts on all this, this financial economic meltdown, I think we should bring back the tobacco companies. As an educational tool, of course, to tell people smoking is a faux pas and it's bad for the body. And you could put that on the side of the cars, but still have Camel, Mile 7, Marlboro. You know, I love those logos.
Gitan, my favorite.
Well, I mean, there's money
GPS
there.
You have the big Marlboro sign, and you have the Surgeon General's warning down in the corner.
Yeah, well, in Europe, the warnings are really specific. It says it kills. You know, we don't have this fine print like in the United States. They just say it. Death will happen now. But, you know, let's bring that tobacco money is out there. And booze, liquor, all the stuff that, you know.
See, death will happen now is promoting smoking because some guy smokes a pack. He says, I'm still alive. So he goes and gets another Gitan now.
Exactly.
Or Gaulois.
Oh, I love it. So, yeah, I'd say bring back the tobacco companies and let's get that money back into Formula One. But that's just, you know, I'm just editorializing there.
Well, so. As far as I know, Marlboro still owns the surface of the Ferrari.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, they basically sell it to people.
Absolutely, I know, but we'll see what happens. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Motorsports Mundial after this brief message.
Hi, this is Alexander Rossi, 2008 Formula BMW America's and World Final Champion, and you're listening to F1Weekly.com.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. Now, as we spin the globe and go around the world. With Motorsports Mundial and the Motorsports Master himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid Nass, welcome back to the studio. I hope your bubbles and squeak in the cafeteria were tasty.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I am double mintfully good now. Second cup in progress, as always, in a Starbucks coffee, thanks to Mr. Fowl. And with that, greetings and racing regards to all the listeners, from Daytona Lights to Arabian Nights, and I do have a surprise for all the listeners. They may know by now I have a closet NASCAR fan, but I'm here to tell everybody Clark Rogers watched the start of the Daytona 500 and the big crash and much, much more.
I stayed
let's,
home.
Let's do a confession here, please.
I watched the race from the beginning to the middle till that anticlimactic ending where the rain started coming down and they tried to dry the track and they were all sitting there under their little umbrellas and it was announced. And I'll let you give the wonderful winner away.
Thank you, sir. There was a lot of racing, and I caught a lot of...
There was a lot of racing. There was a lot of boogity, 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 as you say.
Yeah. But as the guy from SI said, he watched so much of racing, it was from, like, driving from Sulphur, Indiana to Gas City, Texas.
Correct. Correct. And, you know, you have to eat hot dogs, you have to chew tobacco, and you have to drink Lone Star beer.
And you did all that?
All of it. At the same time.
I'm sorry your cousin was not at home.
Exactly.
Thank you. Okay, we shall start with NASCAR season opener at the Big D. We'll start with some other races that, you know, the build-up to the show.
Yeah, and I didn't see any of those.
I apologize. Oh, some of it was very, exciting. Very machismo. Nationwide Series race was won by Tony Stewart and his Chevrolet. Justin Allgaier was sent to the back of the field for missing the driver's meeting. And this is not the best way to start your career with Penske Racing, because captain runs a tidy ship. He can throw you overboard very easily. Just ask Kevin Cogan or Paul Tracy. And these are two stories about both these drivers that I would love to meet, not only the drivers but also captain, and find out what happened there. But that's another story for another day and another podcast on F1 Weekly, not somewhere else. Okay. Truck race was won by Todd Bodine of Chemung, New York, in his Toyota Tundra. And, you know, talking about podcasts, this is pretty much like the fourth year we are doing this, right?
It's pretty frightening, Nasser. I'm starting to get a little gray up by the temples.
And I'm very pleased about that and proud of it that we've been doing this for 4 years. Every week, you know, even if somebody's out of town or out of the country, the show goes on.
Exactly.
And we shall keep it that way.
Absolutely. Nothing stops us. We're like the mail.
Exactly. Earlier in the week, the first Gatorade qualifying race was won by Jeff Gordon with teenage sensation Joey Logano fourth. Very impressive 18-year-old running with the big boys. He is driving the Home Depot car that Tony Stewart used to. Logano is a, you know, I've been hearing about this name for a couple of years now. He's only 18 still. He is definitely a mega star in the making, and I would call him the Sebastian Vettel of circle racing. Would you agree with that?
I guess so, but you know, I would have changed my name if I was going to NASCAR.
Why?
Because Logano is a little too Italiano. You want something nice and American, like Dick Trickle or something.
You know, there used to be a Biffle. Rich. There was a Rich Sickle also, I think.
See?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I like that.
Okay. Why don't you just change it to like George Washington?
That works. I like George Washington.
Yeah, and then you can really have a Crossing the Delaware.
Exactly.
Because they race there.
I know. I think it's wonderful.
They can have it like crossing the Dover Delaware track.
Moving on.
Okay. Sensor has stopped in. Okay. Second race was won by Kyle Rowdy Busch in his M&M Toyota. He skittled away from the competition. Monty was fourth in his Chevrolet. He is one hombre who will definitely see the USA in his Chevrolet almost on a weekly basis.
Good for him.
Yeah, he was running Dodge, but now it's Ganassi and Teresa Earnhardt, you know, that DEI have merged, so they're now using Chevrolet.
Chevrolet has just so much money to pour into this
sport. Oh, absolutely. Now to the main event, the Daytona 500, promoted as the Great American Race. The 2000 edition is being called Daytona 380, as it was red flagged due to rain. Kyle Busch was the dominant driver of the day, but was involved in the schmozzle created by Dale Jr. And they say it takes two to tango, so let's put a little bit of blame on Denny Hamlin also. But most people, including Darrell Waltrip, put the blame on Dale Jr. I mean, this is one of those incidents where it could have been avoided.
Yeah, but they said he was frustrated and blah, 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 and I don't know. And there's this thing they were talking about. He gets a move to pass or free pass.
Lucky dog, it's called.
Oh, the lucky dog. What is that?
No, what I want to know is this, and I've asked before, what if Danica is racing in NASCAR and she is the first lap car down? What are they going to call her?
I don't know.
I don't want to say it, but I just want to know from NASCAR.
Maybe we'll just change it in her honor to Lucky Kitty or something.
Yeah, oh, but wow. I didn't understand what that was all about. And they did have, and this was my favorite moment watching the Daytona 500, was they had a competition caution.
Competition yellow.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, there's a difference there.
Oh, pardonnez moi. but they had a competition yellow. And I didn't see it coming. I wasn't sure what was going on there.
I watched the race last summer where that happened like three times in a row. And the final one was for the end of the race.
Now, ridiculous. Is this to bunch up the field because they're too spread out?
Well, you know, they've had some issues with their tires, so they do precautionary. They were going to do that at Daytona also, I think on lap 25, you know, like a required caution. But fate intervened, as it does in NASCAR quite a bit.
I understand.
But, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and as long as they're thinking about the safety of the drivers, it's not a bad idea.
So it's also for safety.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Why don't they call it a safety competition yellow?
No, because you don't want to put too much safety. Safety is something that's behind the scenes. You know?
I understand. Like the safety barrier.
Yeah, you have to have an open mind to understand.
I'm trying to have an open mind. And I was really disappointed. No tar fire.
Yeah, but you know, talking of tar fire, we have tar fire as on the forum
a
now.
New forum member.
We welcome him, and
it's amazing it took this long for somebody to grab that wonderful name.
Yeah, and now we look forward to his cousin Kaushin to
exactly
join.
I'm sure Kaushin is out there.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
You know, just frightened to just join. You know, but once they make that break,
exactly. Oh, you okay, Mr. Fab? Okay, Matt Kenseth from Wisconsin was in the lead when the rain came down and was later declared the winner. He is with Roush Fenway Racing, driving a Ford Fusion. Last year, Kenseth did not win a single race, as was the case with Jeff Gordon also. Kevin Harvick was second in a Chevrolet, and California kid A.J. Allmendinger was third in his Dodge, and Allmendinger is from this area, basically.
Of course.
So it's good to see a local
boy.
They
said he was from Los Gatos, California.
Well,
he's really from San Jose. He went to the same high school my son attended, so I think they were stretching it, giving him a little bit of more affluence.
Maybe he makes his home in Los Gatos now.
Now he does.
Yeah. And, well, you know, it's like Jimmy Vassar. And I asked him, he told me himself, when he was racing in IndyCar, they used to say Jimmy Vassar from Discovery Bay, California. When I met him, he was living in San Francisco. This is before he even became a big mega star. And I said, how come they say Discovery Bay? He said, because my folks live there. And he probably gets his mail there. So, I mean, you can tie in a few things.
Well, that and the fact that you say Discovery Bay, California, we're just going to like, where's that?
You have to discover.
If you're outside of California. Or out of the Bay Area.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, so best place Toyota was Michael Waltrip in 7th. Montoya was 14th. High-profile rookies Scott Speed and Joey Logano came together. Speed was able to continue and finish 35th. Logano's race was over as he crashed heavily against the inside barrier. Now, a little history on Daytona. The first Daytona 500 was run in 1959. Won by Lee Petty, Pepito of Richard, and it was a big, photo finish, and they had to analyze
it. It was an exciting photo finish because the technology wasn't there, and finally this one press guy had the picture right there, and it was exciting. And those 59 cars, you know what? They looked like cars.
No, the 59, 60s, 70s, those NASCAR cars, I love those. The Torinos.
That was the Machismo.
The Superbird. And the car that won the 1970 Daytona, Pete Hamilton, I believe, was the driver. I love that car, the blue with the big wing. I like that car as much as any vintage Formula One car. I kid you not.
Confessions are here today.
Yes, sir. Okay. And this was only the third time in the history of this race that it did not go all the way to 200 laps. Okay. From racing at Daytona, we go rallying in Norwegian woods. No Beatles here. First win on snow for Sebastian Loeb since 2004 in Sweden. The Citroën driver from Alsace said, and I quote, "It is good to beat the French drivers and win on snow," end of quote. And with that, there goes the vodka invitation from Kimi Raikkonen, because both Kimi Raikkonen and Loeb live in Switzerland, and so do quite a few other people.
Of course.
Have you ever lived in Switzerland?
I've been to Switzerland, of course.
No, have you ever lived in Switzerland?
No, come on.
I know you've moved around Spain and some other places.
No, Switzerland for me.
Okay. Talking of Finnish drivers, Mikko Hirvonen was second in his Ford Focus, followed by fellow countryman and teammate, and my favorite name in motorsports, Jari Matti Latvala.
And this was an exciting race. Sebastian yes. Loeb is the best and becoming the most machismo WRC driver in the history of the WRC. And not only that, but he should have lost this race. But even with Hirvonen delaying so he wouldn't be in the first position and have to go out first in the snow, they thought that that would be a disadvantage to Sebastian Loeb. Don't ever think that. Because once Sebastian Loeb said, fine, I'll start, and he took off, they never caught him again. And Ford was stunned.
Yeah, and you know, talking about Loeb, if you go to his website, which is also in English, I don't, you know, read French. Again, it's a very interesting story, what it takes to get to where people make it, you know, big. So if anybody is interested in knowing his history, I would recommend checking out his website. And a very interesting story. A lot of people helped him, and which is always the case. Third round in WRC World Rally Championship is next month in Cyprus, and Mr. Loeb will be looking for three in a row to start the 2009 season. Now we continue our red-eye non-stop flight to Doha in Qatar for action in GP2 Asia and Speedcar Series, the Middle East version of NASCAR racing, but turning right and left. Both events took place under bright lights and stars for the first time. And you know, they did the MotoGP at night in Qatar last year, which was very impressive. This track is like the Bahrain track, is really spread out in the desert, and it's quite a, you know, thing to watch at night for sure. GP2 Asia, cream rises to the top even in the sands of Arabia. In only his third start, Nico Hülkenberg takes victory from pole position for ART Racing, and his manager, the lovable, huggable Herr Wilhelm Weber, also known as Willie Weber, and we all know who that is. Nico, or Hulk as he is known, could be the cage rattler for Romain Grosjean in main GP2 series, which starts in April from Barcelona. The sprint race was won by Sergio Perez of Mexico. And I'll tell you, man, I am really looking forward not to the F1, but to the GP2 season because of the Grosjean-Hulkenberg situation. And the F3 Euro Series is going to be a real, what they would, Simon Taylor of BBC, ex-BBC, would call a ding-dong of a battle, because they have, what's his name, Esteban Gutierrez, Adrian Tomei, Valtteri Bottas, all rookie for the same team, ART, and then also in ART, Jules Bianchi. And I'm very pleased to say I have access to all these people, and so when I go to Europa at a F3 race, we'll have extensive conversation with all these people. Unless they have become too big and they'll say, you know, screw you.
That could happen.
Which has been known to happen.
No, not with you, Nasser. That charming face, that charisma. Huh.
Okay. Next, speed car also at Qatar. Ex-Grand Prix drivers took the top five positions. You know, I sent an email to the whatever the contact was at the speed car series, and I said, hey, you know, you guys should have an American driver. So if they ever respond to me, then I may, you know, contact some local yokels here and say, hey, would you like to go to Arabia and kick some ass?
Don't even go there, Nasser.
No, it'll be good to see an American. Well, I want to see a Robbie Gordon type driver, a racing driver, not just, you know, hoo hoo ha ha. You know, there are quite, I mean, you
it's
know.
Kid Van Max.
No,
Mad
he's
Mad
Italian.
Mad Motors over there.
Yeah, if he's available, sure.
There you go. He's perfect.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Okay, so I said five Grand Prix drivers took the five top positions, and they are winner Gianni Morbidelli over with Antonio Liuzzi, Johnny Herbert, Jean Alesi and his motivation in the sand, and Jacques Villeneuve. In race two, MotoGP rider, this was very impressive, MotoGP rider Marco Melandri was on his way to a great win, and I believe this was the first time he was racing in this series. and he was going to win over Liuzzi, but had to retire with mechanical failure. Not sure if it was a tar fire or Mungindi suspension broke. Not sure on that, but there was some mechanical issue. Liuzzi took the win. Morbidelli in second and Thomas Biaggi in third made it an all-Italian podium. And you know, when I was writing this, you know, there's also a Max Biaggi in MotoGP, and I'm familiar with both these names, but I just wanted to do a little research, and this happens quite a bit. It really takes back to a time, and it hits hard. And I'll tell you, let me just read this here. Thomas Biaggi has been racing for many years. In his first Formula 3000 race in 1995, which was also the season finale, his car became the launching pad for another car driven by young Brazilian Marco Campos on the last lap. This accident at Manicourt proved fatal for Marco Campos and was eerily similar to the accident suffered at the same track by Ernesto Viso of Venezuela in the 2007 GP2 race, which I'm sure you remember.
That's right? The one where he went basically flipped over on top of the wall.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was bad. And that's what happened to poor Marco Campos. And you know what happened? You know, a lot of drivers go through the system. I remember, I think about a year and a half ago, I was just, you know, doing some old readings, and this name came to my mind, Marco Campos. I said, yeah, this guy was doing very well and basically faded away from the news. And because I had forgotten what had happened, and then I, you know, punched his name, and then I realized, oh, yeah, he was killed in this race. And I remember in mid-80s, I used to subscribe with a couple of friends, Autosport magazine, and, you know, we're all racing junkies. And there was this young guy from Hungary, and I think the name is pronounced Csaba Kesztyár. And he was making a pretty good name. And, you know, in those days, mid-80s, there was nobody of any big fame in motorsport from East European countries. And, you know, I think within a year or two of us following, he got killed, and end of story. So it's interesting, you know, how these names come back with the reference to this or that. Okay, moving forward, the case of going, gone. 22 of the 24 seats have been filled in the new Formula 2 series. And still no representation from the United States, which is very disheartening, you know. And again, we would like to see a good driver, not just somebody showing up to make up the grid. Latest driver to sign up is Henri Karjalainen of Finland, and he raced here also in the U.S. The past couple of years. Now, here's some good news for those who are in England or Britain or planning to be around this time. The new Patrick Head designed Formula 2 car will be unveiled at Brands Hatch on March 2nd. And racing fans are invited free of charge to check out this and other racing machines that will be competing in various British events this year. Some of the F2 drivers will also attend the festivities, including Natasha Gachnon, who is cousin to Sebastian Buemi, and Jolyon Palmer. His papito, Jonathan, is in charge of the series. Sylvain Gintily, I think he's one of your homeboys from MotoGP, and Denny Watts from A1GP, Team GBR, will also be there. The Kentagon restaurant at the track will be open all day, and from personal experience, local fish and chips are a lap ahead of the competition. They are Dingle Dell delicious. You have to try it if you go to... I would recommend this track if somebody is in London or visiting London. It's not too far from there, beautiful Kent countryside. And if you want a picture of this track, it would be just like if you, pretty much like if you take Laguna Seca and put it at Lime Rock. Lush green, up and down, very nice.
Very nice. And of course, the Formula 2 Championship starts at Valencia on May 29th.
Yeah, and surprisingly, it also ends in Spain. But that's the way it
maybe
goes.
Maybe Fernando had a say.
Yeah.
It's macho.
Yeah. You know, I saw some of the talking of Alonso. You've seen the paint scheme on the new car?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Last year was okay.
What do you want me to say, Nasser? Until we fire ING, I mean, excuse me, until ING pulls out and we can go back to nice racing.
No, last year was okay. I didn't have a problem
but
last
still,
year.
The yellow, the white.
The way it's applied is very bad. Not good.
Well, come on.
I think they also have the problem, too, in the canvas is not... really doesn't lend itself well to being tattooed in that way.
Perhaps, but still, I mean, like I was going to say, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but I don't like it. I've never liked these colors. I want to go back to Oviedo blue, racing blue, Matra blue, what we are used to in France. People
Okay. Now, we haven't done this segment in a while, and this is our motorsport mantra.
That's true.
For this week. It's called a welcome departure, borrowing a phrase from Air Canada's advertising theme. But, you know, hey, free publicity for them. Not that I'm going to Montreal. But anyway, a welcome departure. The saga of Honda F1 team continues. The well-respected Japanese manufacturer of two- and four-wheel vehicles with a rich racing heritage shocked the world last year by announcing an immediate withdrawal from Formula One amid the ongoing global financial meltdown, which keeps melting down every morning when I log on to,
F1Weekly.com?
Or the financial news and see the stock market.
I understand. Yeah. Don't even talk about
that. They were calling 401k, 201k, and the way things are going, pretty soon it'll be 101 South.
Correct. My portfolio, I'm going to owe them money pretty soon.
Yeah, the way things are going. Okay, with two wind tunnels, a world-class facility in Brackley, all for sale for the grand sum of £1, or is it $1?
I think it's £1, technically. Yeah. But for us, you know, we're used to hot dogs, $1 works.
Okay. Well, with that price tag, vultures were expected to land and feast on the deal, which would have included high-priced and high-profile driver Jenson Button, possibly a rookie with a legendary name, Bruno Senna, and a mega-successful skipper in Ross Brawn. But this ship has been sinking despite many salvage attempts. First, there was the rumor of telecommunications billionaire from Mexico, Carlos Slim, coming on board. But this call was soon dropped after an official denial from his corporate office. And his company is part sponsor of Bruno Senna in European
Correct.
Racing scene. And he's also promoting a lot of, helping a lot of Mexican drivers, which is good. Next to the rescue was a Greek shipping tycoon. And we're not talking about Telly Savalas here. But this rumor was torpedoed well before reaching the intended target. Now we hear the arrival of your friend, Sir Richard Branson, and his Virgin Empire. It will not be a surprise if this report is also laid to rest in the next week or two. The high-flying billionaire is reported to be a good friend and neighbor of Adrian Reynard, whose company at one time produced race-winning cars and designed passenger seats for Virgin Airlines. History has shown to succeed in racing, the main agenda has to be winning. Would you agree with that, Mr. Rogers?
Indubitably.
Good. In the past, we have seen a prince of Nigeria, international investor from Canada, and even an ex-CIA agent try his luck in Formula One operations without much luck. The shadow of success eluded them all. In Ross Brawn, Jenson Button, and Bruno Senna, the ingredients of success are there. Honda is better off in the current climate to help Ross Brawn resurrect the team and save not only face, but also 700-plus jobs. Financial costs will still be less than closing the operation. Now, here is the surprise. Jenson Button's severance package alone is reported to be around $40 million. This does not even include his dental visits. And that is today's Wisdom of the Day.
Wow!
Some deep thoughts here.
Yeah, that's big stuff.
Yeah, for every, you know, when you win, many lose.
Yeah.
So for every loser, there's a winner also.
That's that action-reaction thing.
Exactly. You know, like you can have a competition yellow or a competition red.
Exactly.
Which I have yet to see.
I haven't seen that. But,
yeah, but it's coming, I'm
but
sure.
But it was an education watching the Daytona 500.
Absolutely.
It was the 51st running of that particular race, sir.
Good, good. Okay, now from... may I proceed with your express written consent?
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. From sinking ship to love board of USF1 and Miss Patrick, this new adventure will sail into town on February 24th, making its formal announcement on Speed TV, the media capital of NASCAR Nation. Peter Windsor's comment that we are in the entertainment business in every aspect of our team will reflect that, plus the reported interest of other team principal Ken Anderson and Danica Patrick has fueled quite a few comments on our forum page, and media has also picked up on this.
I agree, and a lot of the comments were a bit negative.
But I would say fairly realistic.
Very realistic.
Yeah, because, you know, it's good to be patriotic and good to support your people, this and that, and, you know, whatever, look at things in a positive way. But, you know, there's a thing called reality check also. That's why we drink, the official drink at F1 Weekly is RC Cola.
Exactly.
After, of course, the Stella Artois is finished. Okay, While it will be great to see an American team or driver representation in Formula One or any international arena, one has to wonder the seriousness of a project where the interest lies in hiding a driver with one victory throughout their career. It's just not
going to work out. Well, her career is still ongoing. That's, I mean, look, hey, how long has Jenson Button been in Formula One?
Yeah, but have you looked at his career before? I know, he's got to Formula One.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, you have to have the package.
I know. Well, she's got the package. It's just the wrong package.
Oh. Here we go again.
Mr. Producer?
If they have been working for 4 years, as Windsor claims, and I do not doubt this at all, because I have a lot of respect for Peter Windsor and what he has done and what he's doing, they should have landed a major sponsor by now. Maybe this is what they will reveal on February 24th on Speed TV. Search for a major F1 sponsor is basically a two-year project, and with no guarantees they will sign on the dotted line after they have done their due diligence and gathered all data from their outsourced specialist. Combination of a seasoned driver like Barrichello and a young rising American talent with championship-winning credentials, and that's the key point, championship race-winning credentials, would make a lot of sense and command credibility. British American Tobacco on Bar, the team, smoked over $1 billion but were unable to suck in any success even with a world champion as a driver, and the team went downhill despite having a ski instructor as an investor and manager. We're talking Craig Pollock here.
Yeah, I understand.
It's all the facts. We don't fabricate stuff here.
I understand.
Toyota, over $1 billion spent. Sounds like a McDonald's commercial, you know, over $1 billion served, but still not able to move forward in Formula One. Let's hope USF1 is a serious racing program with only one aspect of motor racing in mind. The only aspect that matters, winning. A lesson can and should be learned from Henry Ford's assault at Le Mans to rattle Enzo Ferrari's cage. To win, you bring the best to the team and the track. Nothing beats top-of-the-podium entertainment. What say you, Mr. Roger?
I totally agree, and we'll see what this USF1 announcement brings to the table on the 24th of this month. But I hope they have some good, solid information. And not saying, oh, we might test Danica Patrick.
Yeah, and you see, the thing is, you know, when you have drivers go there who could not win here, but they just want to go there to try their luck there, it just gives a bad rap to American drivers, you know. And if you have somebody who's going there and winning against the very best, then people will respect you.
Yeah,
regardless of who you are.
Absolutely. And to be fair, Danica Patrick, I still think I'd like to see her test an F1 car, and today's F1 cars with the slicks might even suit her a little bit better. And she's light, so she could, you know, deal with that curves.
Yes, there's room for curves.
Yeah, so she's attractive in a few different areas there.
Well, there you don't need curves. She brings enough electricity.
Exactly, Nas. Keep up the good work. Some recommended reading, I see.
Yes, sir. From pitpass.com. There's a story called F1 Hits the Front Pages Again. This is about Royal Bank of Scotland and how their merry ways in F1 Paddock Club are making the British Taxpayers Alliance a wee bit pissed off, and who can blame them? A bank definitely losing interest in Formula One, as we've already discussed, is ING, and I think that there will be some other sponsor casualties in the next year or two.
Absolutely.
And on autosport.com, February 14th, this is interesting for you. There is a Q&A session with Renault's Bob Bell. So you and those who are interested in technical stuff, or those who love Renault, who could that be, Steve? They should go and check out this.
We don't know anybody that loves Renault.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Exactly. So this is on the autosport.com, February 14th. Interesting reading. So that's about it.
Thank you, Nasser. Another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. So we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back in 60 seconds.
F1Weekly.com would like to thank our sponsor, San Jose Label Inc. San Jose Label is a custom manufacturer of labels that makes a variety of products. 1-4 color process labels, alphanumeric barcoding and UPC labels, blank labels, serialized asset tags, hazardous labels, bumper stickers, pin feed, static cling, hot stamp labels, and many others. please go to www.sanjoselabel.com for info, samples requests, and graphic design. Or you can call to telephone 408-436-8221. San Jose Label is the one-stop shop for all your labeling needs.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now it's time for the forum updates. Stephen?
This week's news from the F1 Weekly Forum. Thank you, Peter Brazier, also known as Yay. We welcome M3SJ, Widget 1972, and Fish Guy 876 to the forum, as well as we mentioned a little earlier, Tafar to the forum this week. The hottest threads are discussing the potential U.S. F1 entry. Will Danica drive in F1? The lack of news about Honda is frustrating us all, and the new introduction mic for the podcast is getting a lot of attention, or introduction music is getting a lot of attention. Like it or not, love it? Let us know on the forum. The F1 Weekly MR2 World Series on Bet Racers is entering the closing stages with Apex Slide in the clear lead with Koala, Mallory chasing. As I type, the Rockingham Long Endurance Race is next with a certain Mr. Flab on pole.
I think that's a typo.
Gonna get Steven, you for that one, yeah.
It's a typo.
Yes, the F1 Weekly team entry into the FantasyRacers.com only has 11 members. We need more, so if anyone would like to have a go at Fantasy Racers, please visit the Fantasy Racers 2009 thread in the Race Predictions Forum and sign up. Recent birthdays include Jackson, H. Bright Music, and Frank Douglasson. Happy birthday, guys. That's all for now. Keep up the good posting, everyone, and remember, don't close the tab. Click on the Yahoo ads. And I'd just like to mention that I started on a pole and finished sixth.
After good work, Steve.
Having a rear wing problem on the fifth lap of a 200-lap race.
Wow.
That was annoying.
Don't worry about it. You'll get better, Juan Pablo.
Yeah.
Okay, before I go into the wrap-up, NAS, some upcoming events here at F1 Weekly. What do you got in the works?
Well, we have
something cooking in the pot. A goulash or something.
I'm working on quite a few behind-the-scene agendas. And as they pan out, I will let you know. But this weekend is the A1 GP race, and I'm glad you asked this in South Africa.
Nicolas Prost will be driving for France.
Yeah, and also, I think we can. Most people, I guess, everybody can watch the race live if you go on their website, a1gp.com, which I've always done. And the race, you know, will be probably morning time.
Early morning for us.
Not 5-6 o'clock. Maybe something like that. Oh, we can figure it out.
Kilwami, South Africa. I'm not sure the time zone there.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. And both races now are on the same day. They used to do one race, I think, on Saturday and then one on Sunday, but both are on the same day. So that should be fun. I'm trying to get media credentials to the Sebring 12-hour race. It's the track where the first U.S. Formula One Grand Prix took place. So I'm really interested in going there. And if the media credentials come through, I shall. And look forward to talking to some people, including Monsieur Bardet, and Tom Christensen will be there, and a lot of other drivers. So that's what's on the agenda. And also, you know, I'm very pleased to say that the work on the season review, 2008 season review, is almost done. And hopefully we should be able, with the express written consent of our executive producer, maybe post one first part next week or next weekend. But we hope our listeners listen to our season review. It should be good.
Exactly. And our season review is probably going to be the last one done in the motorsports industry.
Which is true, but the thing
which
is, you
is
know,
good.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, it's coming right before the season starts, so people will be, you know, when they're watching and seeing a few things on race day, they would know what's going on or what has just happened. So there you have it.
Excellent, Nass. You're earning those mega bucks as usual.
The IOUs?
Exactly. Well, that we're in California.
Yeah.
There you have it. Okay, real quickly, let's go to the wrap-up. Motorsports Memories 2009, powered by Turbo Calendar, is going fast. $15.95 plus shipping and handling. And just go to the merchandise page or email nasser@f1weekly.com. I want to thank Marin Karting. They're proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. And, of course, Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and track side support. And real quickly, I want to congratulate Marin Karting and the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. They're going to be doing a great job. They got an exciting season coming up. And, of course, the big news is we're pleased to announce that Speed TV will post race information and results for the Northern California Rotax Series. Just go to speedtv.com, and they'll be featuring news, commentary, and race results from all forms of racing, but of course they'll be covering too the Rotax Challenge. And I want to plug some of the other people that are they're going to be supporting this great series, and that would be J&D's Snack Shack, and that's really good news. That once again they'll be feeding the local kart racers throughout the 2009 season. Keep up the good work at J&D's Snack Shack, and of course, Sanzaru Games Incorporated, they just announced they'll be providing $1,000 worth of video games, hardware developed by the company, as well as their publishing partners. Of course, Sanzaru Games Incorporated, they're a local organization, and they do wonderful stuff. Congratulations. They happen to be right here in San Mateo in the Bay Area, and they do video game development. And they were founded in 2007, but we're really happy to see Sanzaru step up to the plate and help out the Jim Russell 2009 Northern California Rotax Challenge. You can contact Marin Karting by going to marinkarting.com or call them at 415-898-0999. I want to mention our MySpace site and Facebook, of course. Just go there, search for F1 Weekly, and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@f1weekly.com. And I want to thank everybody who makes the show possible. And I want to give a big, big hello to Toby Dawes and Joanne. They've been going through some problems, and they have our heartfelt support and prayers because of their daughter's recent medical problems, but everything's going to be fine. They just need our support and love, and they've got it right here at F1Weekly.com, and of course from all the listeners. Thank you and good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.